Welcome to this recording. This is the first in a series of talks on the subject of why we do what we do. Now, we did look at this theme in our service on Sunday, but it was an all-age service and it wasn't really suitable for an audio recording because of some of the things that we were doing. So I've made the studio version of the talk, added in one or two things that we didn't say on Sunday, and I hope it's going to be helpful. As a Baptist church, one of the things that marks us out, at least from some other parts of the Christian church, is our practice of believers' baptism. We don't baptize babies. We believe that baptism is something that you should approach of your own free choice. It is not something that you should be made to do, either against your will or when you are ignorant of what happens. So we're going to look at a number of Bible passages and try and explain why it is we have this way of doing things. We have a pool inside our church, and when we baptize people, we fill it with water and we baptize them by completely immersing them within the water. This is a big occasion in their lives. It's sometimes something that they find a bit scary, but it's something that marks something very important in the lives of the people who are being baptized. I was baptized when I was 17 years old. It was a big occasion for me. I'd actually been fighting off being baptized for a couple of years or so. But I realized at that age that I couldn't live off the faith of my parents. It was time for me to make my own decision about following Christ. And I felt for a couple of years as if God was pinning me down. And I realized it was time that I had to commit myself to following him. Let's have a look at some Bible verses, and we did look at these at the service on Sunday. The first one is Mark chapter 1 verse 4, where it says that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and John the Baptist went public before Jesus did, announcing that he was preparing the way for the Lord, announcing that somebody was coming after him who was more powerful than him, whose sandals John wasn't worthy to carry. And he said that this one who was going to come after him was going to baptize people, not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And of course, John the Baptist was referring to Jesus, our Lord. John the Baptist told people that baptism was about repentance. Now, this word repentance is a big word. To repent means to change the way you think about something. It means a change of direction within your mindset. And John was calling the people to think differently. Not just in theory, he demanded that people show practically that they had repented by what they did. So, for example, people would come to him and they would say, well, John, what should we do? And he said, well, if you've got two shirts, give one to someone who needs it. If you've got more food than you need, share it with others. John the Baptist expected repentance to be a very practical thing. Soldiers came up to him. And he told them that they were not to extort money from people, that they were to be content with the money that they earned. Tax collectors came to him and he told them not to collect more than they were meant to, because some tax collectors were taking extra money and pocketing it for themselves. So John the Baptist says to people, it's time to repent. And he gives them a very strong warning. He says to them that even though they are children of Abraham, because the people who are coming to him are Jewish people, they are part of the people of God, he warns them that that is not enough. He warns them that God, to use John's word, can raise up new children of Abraham from the stones. In other words, they are not to presume on their inheritance. Now, this was a really important word to me as a teenager brought up within a Christian family. I realized that I had to turn to God for myself. And that's what I was doing in being baptized. And I know that's what many of us have experienced within this church. Baptism, we believe, is something that you have to do for yourself. And John the Baptist was crying out to the people, prepare the way for the Lord. Now, this is an important point. Although baptism is something that we do, although it's something that it's right that we make careful preparation for and think about how we are doing, what we are really doing is inviting God to come into our lives. We are inviting God to come and do something wonderful in our lives. And we're also saying that we are signing up to what God is doing within his church. In baptism, we become part of God's family fully. Now, as children, if we're brought up in the church, we are already part of that family. We're already loved by that family. But now we take our place within that family in our own right. We take the responsibilities of it. And we ask God to let himself loose within our lives and within the life of the church. So John the Baptist is calling us to prepare through repenting, through changing our mind. That's one of the reasons that we like to take people through a number of classes before they are baptized. It isn't something to take on lightly. And we like to try and help people to understand the practicalities of what baptism means within our lives. But we come. And John the Baptist says that this is a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Now, we know, not just because the Bible says it, but from our own experience, that we all fall short of God's glory. We all know that there are things in our lives that need to be changed. God is a holy God. If God is going to work with us, then it's important that his relationship with us is right. So in baptism, one of the symbols that we have is that it is like going into a bath and being washed. The sins that we have committed are washed away. Our relationship with God takes on this wonderful new start. And John the Baptist says of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God coming into you. God's life being set free within you. I have baptized people quite a few times where there has been an amazing sense of God's Spirit within the baptismal pool. I've known people not want to leave the baptismal pool because it was such a fantastic place to be. But John the Baptist also says he will baptize you with fire. Now, in Bible speak, fire is the refining fire. Fire, it's not the fire that's there to destroy you at all, but it's a fire to get rid of everything that in us that needs to be changed. And we're coming and we're offering ourselves to God. We're saying, God, we are preparing the way for you to do that. So in baptism, God is powerfully at work within us. This is something that I hope that you do not want to miss. Let's move on to another text now. And the Apostle Paul, one of the early Christian missionaries, you may remember he was originally Saul of Tarsus and originally an arch persecutor of the Christians. He had quite a lot to say about baptism. And in Colossians chapter 2, he talks about us being buried with him, that is Jesus, in baptism, and also being raised with him, Jesus, through our faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. The key event that we as Christian believers post-Easter are celebrating in baptism is the death and resurrection of Jesus. We believe that God in Jesus has come into our life, he has lived our life, and he has died our death. And we celebrate this, well, we celebrate his resurrection every Sunday, especially on Easter week, Holy Week, we celebrate the amazing things that God did. But in baptism, what we are doing is we are linking our life to the life of Jesus. In baptism, we are saying his death and resurrection is our resurrection. That just as Jesus has died and has been raised to a new life, to eternal life, to use that wonderful phrase, as Jesus has been raised to eternal life, so we have been raised to that life too. So what we do in baptism is we go into the pool, we are plunged under the water as if we are being buried, and then we are raised again to this new life that Christ has for us. Our God is the God who raises the dead. We believe in Jesus' resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We don't believe that we become ghosts in heaven or anything like that when we die. We believe that what happened to Jesus is going to happen to us as well. But we believe, and here's the wonderful thing, that in baptism, what we are saying is, This new life, this resurrection life, this eternal life of Jesus is in us now. And this is an incredible thought, that God sent his son into the world so that we can have life. We can have it to the full. We can have eternal life. Eternal life in the sense of something that goes on forever, but eternal life in the wonderful sense of something that is happening absolutely now. Is our God good or what? Is our God amazing? We rely on the God, Paul says elsewhere, who raises the dead. And in baptism, we come in faith. And we say to the Lord, yes, I know that this old life will die, but I want you to raise me to the new one. Eternal life doesn't start when we die. And that Spirit of God that John the Baptist talked about, the fire of God, comes into us and brings us the eternal life of Jesus now. We find God's Spirit to be alive within us. A phrase that they used at the time. Eternal life was about the life of an age to come. It was an age when God would dwell amongst his people. And we are celebrating in the church, in baptism, that age has already happened. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says something similar. He talks about us being buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can live a new life. What we're acting out in baptism isn't just some sort of theory. It is about the life of Jesus in us. It is about the life of Jesus coming and transforming us. It is about us as the church together being Christ within the world. And again, we prepare the way of the Lord in baptism. Our repentance is important. It is important because we are showing God that we are serious. Being baptized is saying to God, just please let that life be let loose in me. And this is a life that practically changes us. It changes our relationship with God. It changes our relationship with other people. It changes, one bit at a time, our relationship with our family, with our friends, our relationship to money, our relationship to sex, our relationship to everything that is around. And a God who says to us, I will come and I will make my home in you and I will live in you. And this is a big thing. There is a sense in which it happens gradually. There's a sense in which our relationship with God changes one degree of glory into another. But in baptism, there is this beginning. And that's why baptism is a big symbol. That's why baptism is dramatic, because we are speaking to each other about death and life. And look what Paul says in Romans 6 verse 4. He says that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And he says that's what our baptism is like. We are being linked to the glory of God. We have a Father who is magnificent. We have a Father who is utterly loving. We have a Father who cares for each one of us. And we have a Father who wants to share his glory to us. And in baptism we are saying, yes, please, I will have that. Paul also writes in the letter to the Galatians, this is Galatians 3 and verse 27, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, the word Christ means someone who is anointed. It was about a ceremony that would turn people into kings or priests. If you are baptized into the Anointed One, Paul says, you have clothed yourself with him. It's said that in some part of the early church, they used to take this very literally in their baptismal ceremonies. This isn't something that we would do nowadays. But they would actually get the people who are being baptized to undress. They would baptize them without any clothes on. And then as they came out of the baptismal pool, they would put a robe on them. Now, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we go back to that today. I'm told there were ways they made sure that it was done in ways that weren't indecent. But people were saying, in Christ, I take on a new identity. I am now clothed with him. What Paul means is, I'm going to behave like him. Because of the Spirit of God that is inside me, because of my repentance, I am going to seek to live like Jesus. Now, we haven't got time today to go into the character of Jesus in detail. But I do suggest, if you haven't done it, that you read the Gospels. There are four of them in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They tell the story of Jesus. And also read the letters of Paul, who's so impacted by this amazing man, Jesus Christ. See what he is. And to say, as we come out of the water, we are saying that is what we are going to be like. Now, it's not an instant change in every way. God works with the real us. God is not about waving magic wands so that suddenly we will be totally different. But after our baptism, in a new way, he gets to grips with us. Take a look at the story of Jesus. Look at the way he loved those who were close to him. Look at the way he spoke out when things needed to be spoken against. Look at the way he was continually drawn towards those who were in need. Look at the way he was able to love and to be loved. Look at the way he had this incredible relationship with God, this intimacy with God. And I was going to say that that's something we can only dream about. And yet here is the wonderful thing, that that is what God is drawing us into. He puts his Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit is the presence of God within us. Jesus says that this spring, it's like a spring of water that will well up within us and bring us eternal life. Therefore, there's a load of practical things that baptism means. It means that we are to learn to tune in to what God is saying to us within Scripture. It means that we are tuned in to the way that God is leading us with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a lifetime journey. Those of us who've been Christians for many, many years often think that we really haven't come very far in us. But the grace of God works within us. And we're called to this exciting adventure of getting to know him, getting to love him. And the great thing is we find him in all sorts of places. We find him within the church family. But we find him in all sorts of other places too. He calls us to serve those who are in need. He calls us to love people regardless of who they are. We are clothed in Christ. We take on this new identity. And our job description is that we should be like him. Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, next week, we're going to look at church membership, and I'll talk more about the idea of us being a body there. But it is really important to realize that baptism, whilst it is something that you do as an individual, it has to be your choice and nobody else's, what baptism does is it brings you into a family, or to use Paul's word here, it brings you into a body. Now, the point of the body is that in the body, there are lots of different bits and they all work together. So, for example, my hand is pretty useless unless it's connected to my arm. My eyes can only see. They cannot do what my hand does. And we are baptized as believers, not so that we can be a bunch of individuals who are trying our best to follow Christ, so that we can work together. Now, this is deeply challenging. Because I am on the way to being transformed and so are you. But one of the ways that we are transformed is when we come together as God's family and we learn to live together. That's why it matters so much that church isn't just about what we do on Sundays. That in church we are learning to be together, to serve together. I'll go into this more next time round. And Paul wants to stress that being one body goes across all social divisions. This is what Paul stresses a number of times in his letters. So in church, we have this wonderful mixture of people. We have people who are older, people who are younger. We have male and female. We have people of different races. We have people of different levels of wealth. We have people of different educational backgrounds. I could go on and on about this. But God says, right, I'm putting you together and I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Now be my body together. Now do my work together. If you simply come to church on Sunday, get a bit and go again, you'll never really experience the glory of God. But really engaging fully with God's church is much harder. And those of us who've been going a long time know how hard it can be. But this is what the Spirit of God is driving us towards. We are given one Spirit to drink. The Spirit is intoxicating. The Spirit is wonderful. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus, he is risen from the dead. He is about to go to his Father in heaven. And he tells his disciples to go into all the world and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, what we are saying is, I will be a disciple of Jesus. I want to learn from Jesus. One of the mistakes that people make sometimes is they say, well, I've got to wait till I'm ready. I've got to wait till I'm mature enough. But that's not the point. In baptism, you are saying, I will become a disciple. Now, that word disciple, the nearest equivalent to it in our language is the word apprentice. An apprentice is someone who is learning a job. An apprentice learns the theory of the job, but also works alongside somebody to learn the practical skills. So baptism is your enrollment. In baptism, you are saying, I will be a disciple of Jesus. Now, I invite you today, if you haven't been baptized, to consider it. You may be trying to follow Jesus without being baptized, and that's good. And, you know, please don't think that baptism is something magic. But it is the biblical way of saying to Jesus, I will be your disciple. I will follow you. And my final text for this morning from Acts chapter 8. This is from a story about Philip and a eunuch who is from Ethiopia. We won't go into all the details of the story this morning. But Philip has been talking to this man about Jesus. The man actually had a scroll, and the scroll had Isaiah 53, an amazing prophecy about a suffering servant. And Philip starts from that and he tells this man about Jesus. And it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now, there was a reason that the eunuch asked that question, because under the law of Moses, there were certain rules about eunuchs. And the eunuch would have wondered, am I going to be fully accepted as part of God's family? But Philip didn't see a problem there, and the New Testament writers do not see any problem here. They say, no matter who you are, if you believe in Jesus, if you're prepared to be his disciple, if you want to be linked to the death and resurrection of Jesus, if you're ready to be clothed in Christ, if you're ready to start on this great adventure that is about having the Spirit of God within you, then nothing stands in the way of you being baptized. If you'd like to be baptized and you're part of the church family here, please do have a word with me about it. We'd love to do it. We can get the pool ready. So thank you for listening to this. I hope it's been helpful, and may Jesus be glorified today. Amen.